countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
But first, back in May, County Laois farmer John Keane took over as the 38th president of Machrane na Foirme, the Youth and Young Farmers Association.
Having me, and good morning to all your listeners.
We are delighted to have you on Countrywide, and congratulations.
Thanks very much, Marty.
John, along with his dad Martin, farm a dairy and beef holding together between Rathdowney and the village of Errol, where John also hurls with the local GA club.
Always beef cattle as well. Yeah, beef and dairy.
John has been involved in initiatives focusing on isolation and mental health among farmers. With colleges closed, preventing young people from rural areas from enjoying that rite of passage of on-campus college life. When I met him on his farm yesterday, I asked John Keane if being forced to remain at home, in many cases in isolated areas, was an issue among his members.
I think the past 18 months has been challenging in some respects to them, and in other regards, I think it's been really good for them, because definitely the lack of the social outlet, meeting your friends in college, that has been definitely different. But from a point of view, I think, of realising the importance of living in rural Ireland, the values of living in rural Ireland, being at home and getting that sense of what it means to be part of a community. You know, we can't lose sight of that either. The challenges that our membership would have faced in terms of that, and it probably even goes wider than that, and you did mention my involvement with different mental health initiatives over time, but we've seen the isolation and the loneliness particularly grow, maybe not as much in our cohort of young people, because Machrane has always been a very strong outlet for social, and I know it's on Zoom, and I know it's in front of a laptop and a computer screen, but people are still engaging in that forum. Whereas in my time, and still involved in a mental health initiative called Make the Move, we would have met older farmers in 2017, 2018, who wouldn't have been getting out that often. And one story always stuck with me was an older gentleman who went to Mass on a Saturday evening, got his messages in the shop, he went to the pub afterwards, and that was his complete social interaction for the week. So if you just put that in the context of COVID-19 now, all of those social interactions are now gone. So yes, it has impacted the younger people. We can't meet our friends and we can't go out and do the things that we always wanted to do, and that's difficult. But in the overall context of things, older people who are not seeing anyone now, I mean, that's something which is going to become only exacerbated, I think, as we come out of the pandemic, and resources and items that we need for that are going to have to be provided.
I remember there was a statistic, and I think it was that there are more farmers over 70 than under 30 or something like that. Is that still the case in this country?
From a farming point of view, Damien, it is. And unfortunately, if we look at the CSO figures from 2013 and trend them as far as 2018, you're looking at about 8,200 young farmers in 2013, down to 7,100 young farmers in 2018.
And what constitutes a young farmer?
So under the age of 35.
Right.
So you're looking at, if you look at it as a percentage terms, you're looking around 6% in 2013, and that's now dropped down to 5% in 2018. If you look at the farmers over the age of 65, you're looking at about 29.5-30% of farmers over the age of 65. And that has increased in the period from 2013 to 2018.
Is that a worrying figure, or is it just a natural trend?
It's a worrying figure, because if you look at some of the leaders across the EU and the context of CAP and all of the negotiations in the last number of weeks, if you look at the likes of Austria, if you look at the likes of Norway, have above 10% of farmers under the age of 35 classified as young farmers. So it is a worry from our point of view, because we are going to be the farmers who are still farming in 20 and 30 years' time, hopefully, who will have to embrace changes that are necessary, but will also have to ensure that the sector remains viable.
What are the reasons for such low numbers?
There's a number of reasons, to be honest, Damien. And if we look at it from a young farmer's point of view, what comes back from our membership always as the two biggest barriers for young farmers to access and enter farming, number one is the access to land, and number two is the access to credit. So if you look at the land mobility or land moving or land for sale in Ireland, it's traditionally always been very low. And that's something which needs to be addressed both in the context of CAP, but also in terms of the taxation measures within the national envelope.
Machrane na Foirme pioneered an initiative called the Land Mobility Service to match up older farmers looking for help with landless younger farmers a number of years ago. John Keane believes that this has proved itself and now needs more national support.
but we need greater funding to, in order to roll out that service, to increase its visibility and also to increase the service it provides. If you look at the income side of things, we have certain sectors, if you tillage and dairy sectors, which have done reasonably well over the last number of years, are attractive for young people to enter into. But if you look at the beef sector and the sheep sector and some of the horticulture industries, often they don't provide a viable income from young people to enter into those sectors. So if you're putting yourself in someone's shoes at 22, 23 years of age, coming out of college, and you have opportunities within industry or outside of industry, and then you compare that to the opportunities that you have within the agricultural sector and the potential to have a viable income, I mean, it can be really difficult to choose farming as a viable opportunity when you look at it on a purely income basis.
In the environmental discussion, agriculture is front and central to that. You're a beef and a dairy farmer. What about the image of farming in that discussion and its portrayal at the moment?
I think the image is an issue, Damien. What's being portrayed out there is an issue for us as farmers, because we as young farmers and our members do not feel as if the debate and what's being portrayed as farming is actually reflective of what goes on farm. You're out here on my farm today, you're surrounded by green grass, by trees all around us, there's birds flying, we've a river just beside us. That's the picture of what farming is. We're living it, breathing it every single day. Yes, as young farmers, we realise that there's challenges in terms of our environmental impact. Yes, we're willing to embrace those. But what we need is, we need both sides, whether that be the environmental side or whether that be the farming side and the department represented in the middle. We need us to come to a consensus. We need to see it from both sides in order that we can move forward. Because this idea of one side of the debate against the other, the realisation must hit with those that farmers are going to be the drivers of this. We need farmers on board to drive the environmental change that's needed. But we also need a realisation of all the measures that farmers are currently doing on farm. We look forward to engaging in schemes which can show consumers and show the other side of the debate. And at the end of the day, all these practices that we're doing that the consumers and the wider public are looking from us, they have to be reflected back in the prices which farmers receive.
But do you accept the statistics and the figures from the EPA in relation to water, soil quality and all of that?
We recognise that there's a downward trend over the past number of years, and we recognise that we're not perfect as farmers. We recognise we've a road to travel. We also recognise, as a farming community, we've engaged in an awful lot of schemes to try and revert those. So if we look at the ASSET programme, which is a programme that monitors water quality across different river catchments across the country, and we look at that as being a voluntary programme, and we look at that as being oversubscribed by a number of farmers. If we look at the research that's been done on the signpost farms, the Chagas signpost farms, which is around carbon sequestration, water quality, biodiversity and enhanced environmental measures, it's a commitment from us as farmers to engage with those measures. And we recognise that we have to improve on those. But it also must be cognizant of the role that agriculture has, particularly in relation to climate change and carbon and methane emissions. It must be noted our ability to sequester carbon and to store carbon, because as a unique industry within the country, we have the ability to mitigate against climate change. We have, as you rightly mentioned, we have soils. We can manage our soils in such a way that once the science and the research shows us that we can implement those on farm.
Do you have a long-term vision of the farm here, what it'll look like in 10, 15 years' time?
It's something which I've grown up with, and I travelled to New Zealand and did a piece of farming over there for 18 months or 2 years as well, and came home. So I think farming is in my blood. My grandfather moved here 50-something years ago. We're still considered blow-ins, even though we're here for 50 years. But it's something which I definitely want to pursue as a career. What farming will look like in 20 and 30 years' time, I think we'll continue to grow and do what we've done over the past 20, 30 years. If you look at Ireland in terms of a global context, in terms of our soil management, in terms of our green image, in terms of our outdoor systems, I think that that's the way of the future.
So how many cows are you making then?
Around 100.
Around 100, right. It's younger people that we hear that are driving, I suppose, more away from dairy and milk to a plant-based vegan sort of diet. You're the head of a national organisation with 10,000 members, not all farmers either. Do you see, we'll say, a Mocra dinner in 2 or 3 years' time having a vegan option on it?
I think from a Mocra point of view, Damien, we're not excluding of any particular side of the coin. It's something which, in terms of our rural, and you're right there, our rural young people are a huge part of our organisation. We're working on inclusivity. You'll see our part in terms of Pride the last number of years. But in terms of anyone's specific dietary requirements, we'll definitely be open to all, and we won't exclude anyone.
All right, well, you're becoming president at a very challenging but exciting time for farming, and it will be a busy time as well for you. So we wish you all the very best over the next couple of years and look forward to chatting to you on the show regularly as well, John.
Thanks very much, Damien. Much appreciated.
Yep, that's the new president of Mochrane Farm, John Keane, on his home farm in County Laois yesterday. Although he is very much a Laois man, his local Mochrane club is Devil's Bit in North Tipperary, just across the border there from him. So they're all very proud of him down in that part of the world.